This is where it begins.
The Drew Mariani Show.
Take me to the middle of your heart.
On Relevant Radio.
Of course, the Solemnity of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, a glorious feast day tomorrow, is the Memorial of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. These two great feast days are actually relative newcomers to the Church's calendar, but they've become well-beloved. Steve Ray is a convert to the Catholic Church and author of three best-selling books, Crossing the Tiber, Upon This Rock, and St. John's Gospel. He's in great demand as a speaker for conferences and parishes around the world, and is a regular guest on Catholic Answers Live, Ave Maria Radio, EWTN, and many other radio and television programs. You can find out more about him at CatholicConvert.com. Steve Ray, it is an honor to speak with you today. Thanks for joining me.
Well, thank you, Callie. Very nice to talk with you as well.
Let's talk about these two feasts back to back. How did this come about? How did we get these feast days? What set off the movement to have them?
Well, I would say they've been around for about 1,000 years, and a nun named Mary Margaret got them really going in 1672. But in the 1800s, they were widely practiced, and people followed this devotion. But I want to go back to the beginning, I think, because they really began in the Bible. You know, I'm a convert, so I would always ask Catholics questions like, why do you guys make all this stuff up? Where do you come up with this kind of stuff? You know, this is all these man-made traditions you Catholics have, and you just make up this stuff out of nowhere. You know, now that I've become a Catholic, I understand more that we as Catholics really love the Bible, and we think about it more deeply than I did when I was a Protestant, I can tell you that. And I look back at the scriptures, it says that many things during Mary's life, it says she pondered these things in her heart. You know, when she'd hear things about Jesus, when the shepherds came and they said, we just got this message from the angels, Mary pondered these things in her heart. And when they went back after Jesus talked with the teachers in the temple, Mary pondered these things in her heart. What that means is she's meditating upon them. Mary didn't know everything. She wasn't omnipotent and omnipresent and omniscient like God is. She was a girl, only 15 years old at the time, and she pondered them, thinking, trying to process all of these things. And especially remember when Simeon the prophet said to her in the temple, 15-year-old girl with this new little baby in her arms, and a sword is going to pierce your soul also. How does a 15-year-old girl process that? So she's meditating on these things. And I think that that's what we as Catholics do. We follow Mary's example. She's the mother of the church. She's the type of the church. We follow her example. We also meditate on Scripture. We meditate about Jesus and all that applies to him. And the word meditate comes from, it's a synonym with the word ruminate, and the idea is of a camel chewing his cud, really, is what it is. You know, I spend a lot of time in the Holy Land, and I tell people when we're riding the camels, I say, watch his neck when he's laying there. All of a sudden, this bump comes up in his neck. You can watch it go right up his neck, and then he starts to chew. I said, this is what Christian meditation is. The camel, when he's in a hurry, quickly picks grass and bushes, and he wraps it in a ball and swallows it into stomach number two. Then when he's laying around, he brings that back up, and he chews it some more. And then he swallows it into stomach number two. Later on, he brings it back up again and chews it some more until it's well digested. This is what we do as meditation. This is how we practice Mary's pondering it in our heart. We read the Word of God. We think about the Word of God. It's called, you know, when you study and pray with the Word of God. And then when you're stuck by a train on the road, you don't get mad and say, ah, shoot. No, say, this is a great opportunity. I'm going to bring that scripture back up into my mind. I'm going to chew on it some more. And then the train goes away, and you swallow it, and then you come back up, and you think about the Word of God again. And as we do that, we understand these great devotions and mysteries. That's how the church develops them. They're not invented. They are true biblical gospel entity, things that are there, and we meditate upon them, and we get these wonderful devotions over 2,000 years. Just look at the riches that we have as Catholics, and the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary are two of those that have been developed because we, the Church, are like Mary, and we ponder these things in our heart.
So what does it mean to celebrate a feast day, like specifically these two feast days? In a tangible way, what does it mean?
Well, it means that we think about that. I think one of the nice ways to do it is to look at the images of the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. By the way, on my blog a couple days ago, first of the week, I put up really nice images with a lot of descriptions about them. And I think one of the nice things is to just look at those and meditate on what the average image of the Sacred Heart is. It's a human heart. And by the way, we're thinking about not just a human heart, but also a symbolic heart. But literally, these are human hearts. And so the image of Jesus, the Sacred Heart, you see a heart, and on top there's a cross, and there's flames. And those flames represent the fire of his love for us. He just loves us so much, it just burns. He's burning with love for us. Why? I don't know. We're such sinners. We're in many ways so unlovely, and yet God has this great love for us. It's an amazing, amazing mystery. But the fire also represents purification, that he wants to purify us so we're like himself. And then you see a crown of thorns around the heart, and that shows the pain and the suffering that he was willing to go through for us because of that fire of his love. And there's a pierced side in the heart, which shows where the Longinus's lance at the crucifixion, when he stabbed him in the side, and there's blood dripping out, and that blood is actually like it cleanses, but it's also like water coming down to start a new Eden. The bottom heart is the heart of mankind, and the roses and flowers around it represent a new garden, in a sense, a new life that the blood and the sacrifice of Jesus would bring about. And in the back, there's clouds and light, which represent the glory of God. So if you just look at that, it's a beautiful image. And then the one of Mary is very similar. The roses around Mary's heart, you know, just look at these images and think about them and meditate upon them in their relationship to what we know from Scripture. And Mary's heart, you see there's seven swords piercing into the top of the heart. Those are the seven sorrows of Mary. That's another devotion that we have. Remember that in that temple, Simeon said, a sword will pierce your soul also. And that was one of the sorrows of Mary. And so then hers, you see also the cut in the heart and blood coming out. That represents the sword will pierce your heart or your soul also. And the blood dripping down is like a garden of delights, that Mary's love and passion also brings new life and helps us to understand and love her son better. So we can meditate on the scriptures and on these images, and I think it helps us a lot.
And you know, for those who are not Catholic, you're right. I mean, there's a lot of criticism, a lot of misunderstanding, a lot of, you know, just confusion, I would say, about why we have these images in our homes. I know you, I'm guessing you have a Sacred and Immaculate Heart picture in your home that's been blessed. I know we do, right?
Front door. If you come up to the front door, we got it in the Philippines with a big porcelain tile. Nobody comes up to my front door and doesn't see the Sacred Heart and the Immaculate Heart right there.
Beautiful. Ours is right inside the front door. Yes, in that, you know, growing up, I grew up quote unquote Catholic, but didn't really know the faith until I was in my 30s and when I came back after having left for a while. So I can kind of relate to you because it was all pretty new to me. And at that point, I just when I realized the gift of having these images in our homes, I just thought, well, of course I want these up, and why would we not? You know, and as far as it just, you know, we tell folks who aren't Catholic that you have a picture of your mom or your deceased grandparents, you want to remember them, you want to turn to them, or just, you know, have these connections still with the image and
right.
Our saints and that these are our family members as well. We're all part of the community
of
saints.
It's funny you mention that because I was raised in a Baptist home, and we always heard about Catholics have images and statues, and they're idolatrous. They worship these. I remember when I became Catholic and it was Christmas, and I said to my mom, Mom, you still agree that it's wrong to have statues of Mary and Joseph and Jesus? Oh, yes, those are idols. Those are terrible. That's a horrible thing. The Bible says we shouldn't make those. I said, Mom, look at your kitchen table. You have a manger scene there, and not only are there sheep and goats around there and wise men, but there is a statue of Mary and a statue of Jesus and Joseph right on your Baptist table. And you criticize Catholics for having those images? And, you know, I was raised every night. It's indelibly imprinted on my mind. There was a picture of Jesus over our dining room table, and that's an image. And that was a picture.
Right.
And I remember sitting there. Now I think how inconsistent we were as evangelicals, because we would condemn these things that Catholics do, and yet willy-nilly we did the same thing, but we would always say, oh, but that's different. You know, we have these we have these beautiful images, not only the Sacred Heart and Immaculate Heart, and we can think about those. And young kids, if you sit down with a young child, 10 years old, and say, look at this, tell me what you see, and then talk to them about that. You know, the images of statues, stained glass in the churches all through the centuries, they were called the gospel of the poor. And most times, 90% of the people were illiterate. They couldn't read the Bible. They didn't have beautiful books. They didn't have television and iPhones. They didn't have anything to meditate. All they saw was the fields and the cow manure and stuff when they were working every day. And then you'd walk into the church, and what did you see? The Sacred Heart, an Immaculate Heart. And then the little kids would say, Mommy, what's that? And then, or Grandma with her babushka, and then they'd say, but this is the story of Jesus' love for us. And why did they put him on that cross? Why are they hurting that man? Well, that's Jesus. He's dying on the cross because he's paying the penalty for our sins. These things are so wonderful because they're like the cartoons or the comic books of the ancient times where kids can look and they can understand and see the story.
And learn the faith, and yeah, exactly. What a beautiful way to explain it. And I want to invite our listeners to, you have a great opportunity right now to speak with Steve Ray, best-selling author, frequent public speaker, and guest on many, many television and radio shows, convert to the Catholic Church. Our phone lines are opening now, 888-914-9149, our toll-free number, so please give us a call. Steve, we have to take a quick break, but when we come back, we'll get some calls, and then we want to continue this discussion about these glorious feast days and how our listeners can, if you haven't yet, take part in celebrating them. Stay with us. We'll be back in a moment.